be consistent, but don't stress the small things. Make a lot of mistakes, and like you said, make them fast so you can recover fast. Keeping that momentum is what, to me, builds good culture.
Welcome to the Consistent and Predictable Income Community Podcast. The CPI methodology is the only system that teaches the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks.
Charles Benton is the president of the First Class Real Estate Premier Group. He's a prominent figure in the greater Atlanta area and began his career as a licensed agent in 2006, reaching over $50 million in sales volume in his first 3 years in the business. Charles will talk alpha, should it? In this episode, Charles will talk about how residential real estate is shifting for agents and brokers and how it is becoming more common for agents and small teams to start opening their mortgage and title companies through joint ventures.
My name is Dan Roshan. I'm the host of the CPI Podcast, which is the real estate show designed to help top producing agents leverage and scale your business, allowing you to earn more money in less time, for seasoned agents to help you get to the next level of stable income, and for new agents to help you find the right way to freedom and money so that each of you can reach your potential as a person and as a real estate agent, which means you'll have certainty in your future. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, Charles Benton. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
It's my pleasure. So today, Charles and I are going to talk to you about the next level for a top producing real estate agent. We're going to take a deep dive into that. And if you are a top producing real estate agent, you want to tune into this. If you are a seasoned agent and you want to become a top producing agent, you want to tune into this. And if you're a new real estate agent and you're just trying to figure out what the next step is, guess what? You want to tune into this as well, because Charles is going to drop some great knowledge that he has. Charles has been in the Atlanta, Georgia area since 2006 as a real estate agent. And if I just read his bio, we would spend the next 30 minutes going through this. What I can tell you is Charles is a leader in our industry, and he's somebody that I'm honored to be able to have a conversation with. So welcome, Charles. How are you, sir?
Man, awesome. I'm glad to be here. And like you said, drop some knowledge. I love talking real estate and educating if I can and learning at the same time. So I'm pumped.
All right. Fantastic. So before we jump into the topic today, talking about like the next level for top real estate agents, like what do you go next after top producer? How do you scale? For a lot of top producers, they've cracked the code yet. You know, now they're not exactly, they may be frustrated because they're not able to live the life that they've created. Before we jump into that, tell us about, you got licensed in 2006. Let's step back there for a second. 2006, what got you into real estate sales?
You know, it's funny, it really wasn't one key thing. Is I got out of the military. I was in the Navy on a submarine for 6 years and decided to get out, got out. I'm like, what do I do now? And happened to respond to a monster.com ad about a real estate agent, went to Remax and kind of jumped on a team there. And luckily enough, it was a perfect market. 2006 was great. So I was able to dive in. So I've got to see the ups and downs. But, you know, people ask me, whoa, why'd you pick real estate? Monster.com ad. I really didn't have a passion for it. I mean, growing up all in the sales, but nothing really real estate background. And all I knew was college and a submarine. So I said, why not?
What's the longest you've been in a submarine for, like underwater?
You know, I was on a fast attack. So we'd be underwater, you know, 45, 60 days, come up and grab some emails and some air and come back down. It was a good experience.
When I think of like professions, I think of real estate sales as one of the toughest professions. But this got me a cakewalk compared to being in a submarine. My goodness.
Hey, I'll tell you, working long hours never bothered me.
I hear you, man.
I was glad to be above water. So,
all right. So you said 2006. Yeah, the market was great, but guess what? 2007. Tell us about the next year or two after that.
Oh, man, it was amazing getting in the industry in that time when it was booming. I was like, this is easy. This is a cakewalk. Great. Like I said, then that market crashed. Luckily, I was leveraged with an REO company at Remax, which I was there for a while with, that we took advantage of that and we actually flourished during that time using REOs as leveraging our business. So I got to see the ups and downs, but luckily I was able to grind through it during that tough transition before the market came back around.
Yeah. So market of the moment. So 2008 all the way to 2009 when probably short sales as well. I'm sure you were doing short sales.
Yep. That's the beginning. Yep.
Yeah. And so market of the moment and then, climbing out from there. Okay. So that's your beginning. And I know you had a phenomenal start. So your first 3 years in the business, you were at 50 million in sales volume by your third year, right?
Yeah, I was killing it.
That's fantastic. What's been the biggest lesson that you learned as a beginning newer agent when you started, if you were to do something differently today? So what would Sir Charles tell Charlie, in 2007? What would you tell him?
Yeah, so if I had to go back, a lot of the stuff I would learn is be consistent, but don't stress the small things. And a lot of that could just be me because I'm detail-oriented, being in the military and stuff. But back then, I would worry about just every little thing where, sales, things are going to move. You can't dictate the market. You can't dictate these things. So go into it open-minded, but be consistent, whatever I did. That's what I see a lot of agents, my brokerages and other brokerages struggle with is the consistency of it. So I always, that's one thing we teach right away is consistent.
So I know that today you have evolved into you're a franchisee for First Class Real Estate that's based in my state of Virginia. I was in Norfolk where you're the home of your company. I was there 3 days ago, not at your company, but I was in Norfolk.
Yeah.
So what got you? So tell us about fast forward, I guess, 2019-ish. Is that correct? When you got into the ownership?
Yep. And what kind of led me to that is around 2015, I started to really flourish as an agent and decided to start bringing on team members and decided to leave Remax and kind of do my own brokerage. And it was great, enjoyed it, better commission splits, more control. But what I was running into was not really having support or value for those agents. Yeah, I'm growing a brokerage and doing great, but I was really struggling with the whole aspects of getting big, because that's the point of really growing a brokerage, unless you're just doing it singly, and that's understandable. But if you're trying to grow, there's a lot more that goes to it. And a lot of team leaders and brokers that start it will realize that. So I knew that I needed to go to a more experienced, bigger company to help me do that. And I searched around a long time, probably started 2018 looking around, and I came across First Class and Ryan Finch, the CEO, and just meshed. Felt like it was a good fit, kind of how I wanted real estate to look for me and core values and stuff like that. So I decided to do the plunge and go into the franchise business and opened my first one in Atlanta and went to town with it. And now I have eight of them, and I'm also an area rep for kind of the Southeast areas. So it's been a great ride. And the main thing that I noticed was what I was looking for, the support and structure. So that's kind of what tiered me to do that.
So here you are, a top producing agent, and you're looking for that next level. And you find that with the company that you're now a regional rep and an owner of eight franchisees or eight franchises, I guess, and covering three states. So tell us more about that. Like what's been your challenge? Before I tell you, before we pull out like what's all great about that, right? But what's your biggest challenge with that specifically? Like being a brokerage owner, what's been your biggest challenge?
Yeah, and when I cover this, it'll tell you why I went to the franchise model. I mentioned being able to provide value to the agent, but when you're a broker and you're still producing, let's say I'm doing deals and I have an agent call me that wants to help write a contract and I'm trying to write my own contract, somebody's going to get pushed aside a little bit. And that's that value that I struggled with. And I knew I couldn't do it on my own. And I'd hire admin. I would try all kinds of things and could never really crack the code. But for me, going to a brokerage, starting it and developing it was a lot of the problem was me still producing. I would always put myself ahead, selfishly. But again, you got to have that revenue coming in and then not really providing a lot. In my opinion, to grow a brokerage, you only really need two things: recruiting, you got to have agents to grow it, and then value. And value can come in lots of different ways: leads, coaching, mentoring, whatever. And that's one thing that I struggled with the most is, yeah, I had plenty of leads, but that was a small aspect of that value, and I struggled with it. And I knew that that was always my problem, and I knew I had to fix that, and that's why I kind of went with the franchise model, because that kind of helps.
Got it.
I recently wrote the book, Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. I wrote this book because I have sold real estate since 2007 and developed an immense amount of experience and knowledge. During my journey, I've witnessed hundreds and maybe even thousands of real estate agents fail in this business. And I firmly believe that that's a shame. In Real Estate Evolution, I will show you the exact steps that I have used as a real estate salesperson to sell 1 to 15 homes every single month for the past 129 consecutive months. It took me more than 2 decades to learn the sales and persuasion techniques, and more than 1 decade to master the real estate sales techniques to be able to produce the content that makes up this book. And it took me more than a year to write at a pace of 3 hours every single day. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income in your business, I invite you to get the book, Real Estate Evolution. And you can get that by visiting www.therealestateevolution.com. And I'll even give it to you for free as long as you pay for the postage.
So leads is a value, and I hear it as a covering franchisee owner and as a team leader for a real estate sales team. I hear it often when I'm interviewing agents often they ask about leads. And my perspective is that, yes, that's a piece of a value. Yet, if that's the only value that a team leader or a broker or brokerage is providing to their agents, I strongly feel that that's not a high value. I mean, that's a piece of it, right? But it's about how can I help you be the best version of yourself? How can I help you achieve your goals? How can I be able to make your job easier? Would you agree with my assessment of that?
Yeah, I would. It's hard to stay sustainable and scale with just a lead model. And that's how most teams start. Oh, I got extra leads, or I'll go generate some leads and let this agent do that. And to me, that's a number one killer for agents are going to leave, because this is a joke I always say is, if an agent comes for the leads, they're going to leave for the leads. If they come for the splits, they're going to leave for the splits, because both ways, they don't see the value that you provide in between those. Definitely, that's just a stepping stone of the value is the leads portion of it. You know, granted, it does help them fast track, but that's just one of it. So I would definitely agree to that.
What do you think the highest value that an owner or a team leader could provide for an agent?
You know, it, I would say, and a lot of people are going to say, oh, training, mentoring. I think it's more support. You know, a newer agent or an agent that is up and coming, you know, they might need support for questions about contracts, or maybe just to talk real estate to a little bit. But that's what I saw was the biggest value, is if you can provide good support of all ways with an agent, like friendship, whatever, you're going to have a very sustainable brokerage in the long run.
So support, and support can show up in it can be mentorship. I mean, mentorship is a piece of, that's a piece of support.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's being there for questions, whatever. Like for my brokerage here in Atlanta, we have 3 different staff members that's their sole focus is agent support. And, you know, one does agent support with leads, one does agent support with contracts. So we kind of have roles with it, but we don't want an agent to ever leave or get discouraged from us that we weren't there to support them or give them advice or help. Where we get a lot of agents coming over from other companies, that's their number one problem.
Okay. So let's talk about specifically, so that's a lot about like agents in general. Let's talk specifically about the top producing agent. So oftentimes what I hear from top producing agents is, you know, some of them actually figure out, you know, how to the leverage piece of it. And many of them end up working 18 hours a day, every single day of the year. And so if you're that agent, that, you know, you figured out how to find business, you figured out how to convert business and give a high, you know, level of service, yet you haven't figured out how to take a day off, what do you tell them?
That is the hardest position because, like I said, they're successful. They're making money. They'll go out on a weekend and make 10 grand. It's hard to argue with that. But like you said, 18 hours, 5, 6, 7 days a week will grind you down. But the hardest thing for an agent to understand is, you know, let's say they have some buyer's agents, they're getting 50-50 on it or from their deals, whatnot, that they can go out, show a house and make double that, what they're leveraging off. So it's so hard to pull them away from that income to let them understand that, hey, you're going to make quadruple that in a couple of months by the amount of time you can work on your business as opposed to working in it. And when you're doing producing and trying to get to that next level, the only way I've seen people do it successfully is getting out of production, which is by far the hardest move I've made in real estate, because you really no longer become a real estate agent. You kind of become a team leader or a broker, and your job, your whole job has changed. So that's what I see. Very high producing agents can't get to that next level strictly because of that. You can't really do both.
When did you get out of production?
I got out of production right when I got the franchise, when I decided I was all in. So I think it was October of 2019. I said, okay, I'm going to step out and work on growing and developing my agents and providing better value. And that was a game changer for me, to be honest with you. Hands down, game changer.
What conversation were you having? What struggle were you having with yourself before you made the plunge to get out of production? I'm assuming you were having some sort of conflict with yourself before you got out of production.
Yep. I was scared for really two reasons. A, my leadership skills. You know, I was always, as an agent, the type of leader that would, hey, come watch what I'm doing and I'll bring you with me, and not showing people how to do it. So I struggled, like, okay, am I going to be able to teach people how to produce a lot at a high level? And then obviously in the back of your mind, it's always revenue. You know, you're like, dang, I'm going to be out this money. And what if these agents leave? Or what if this happens? You know, so it's that's the battle. But for me, I really was, number one was my leadership skills to make these agents way better than I was or grow based on me. Like I said, my leadership skills.
What specifically in leadership has served you and those that you lead well? Behavior or what tactic or what activity?
You know, that's an awesome question. I was thinking about that the other day. Is I think what shifted was for me is I started putting the agent first, not the brokerage. Once I started every decision or system I added or procedures, hey, how will this affect the agent? Will this help them produce? Will this? Then that led me to really thinking, you know, what else can I add that's going to help them produce more, as opposed to thinking, oh, I have these leads, you should be working them better. Or, oh, I have this past client that's ready to go. And that's, to me, that's more brokerage first. And then, you know, splits and all that, that's, it's nothing to really do with as much. But that was a shift when I started thinking, like, okay, how can I make them better without sacrificing too much, but really providing the stuff. And that's what I've kind of tried to stay with.
So how can I help you better from your perspective? And I agree with you, is a foundational perspective of a good leader. Would you agree with that?
I do. And that's something that it took me time to develop, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I got you. You're a pretty direct person, right? Your bottom line. I mean, not like bottom line, your communication. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so a lot of times bottom line people will often end in a role like you have and are very direct and are sometimes just like, hey, get it done.
Because you know it's attainable. And the thing is, it's conveying that vision. But my vision is like, dude, just do this or do this. Yeah. And it doesn't always work that way. And if you just got to really work on showing that vision and that those skills. But, you know, Ryan Finch is my real estate coach. And he's always, always on me about this, because you're kind of nailing me on the head right when I got into the franchise, how it was. This is how we got to do it. This is that. And as opposed to doing that. And he says, man, you can't have growth and control. You have to lead and the growth will happen. You can't control it. And that's true, because I was trying to micromanage, you know, agents, checking on them, you know, just, you know, like a typical person that just got out of production and is like, I need your money's coming in. I gotta sell these agents. Like, hey, it gets in the month and we might only have 10 under contract. Hey guys, what you got in the pipeline? Hey, like, you know, I remember those days.
And so it seems like you've had, you know, in a relatively short period of time during a pandemic, by the way, I know that you've hired over 100 agents last year. So where are you finding the agents? How are you attracting them to you?
You know, a lot of it is kind of what we've mentioned. At first, when you start a new brokerage, you know, you really don't know what all type of agent. You kind of want a lot of agents to really figure yourself out and to let that culture grow. And fortunately, when we started, we developed a really good culture. You know, it's a really good atmosphere. And so a lot of it became organically, as well as, you know, you got to market yourself, you know, all kinds of different ways. But we were kind of able to grow it. Now we do have a different model where we do provide leads and we have like 100% model too. So we could hit an agent up at any stage of their career. But really that's kind of, we just hit the ground. I was out of production and that's all I had to do was recruit, provide value. And it kind of grew within itself. But that culture was number one thing. You know, I've seen brokerages just crash and burn when they develop a bad culture. And then You have agents talking behind their back and you know how that goes.
So the word culture defined would be how we treat each other. And so, you know, because sometimes when people hear the word culture, they think of, you know, oftentimes they think of that in a good sense, which is great because hopefully it is a good culture. You also highlighted there about, you know, if it's a bad culture, you're going to crash and burn. How would you describe how the people within your organization, how do they treat each other? How does that culture manifest itself?
So one thing that manifests that I had no control of was our agents that were doing well, really helping newbies or a new agent to the company welcoming. Now you can't, and really it's hard to instill that in an agent. Like in a brokerage, you can instill certain things as a broker, but when your agents are able to kind of jump in and really be the face of you, be your raving fan is what I kind of call it, to the new agents. They're like, man, this place is insane. This is awesome. That bleeds over. So fortunately, when I started, you know, I just got a good crop of agents who really meshed well, and that has just translated to the good culture. Now, you still got to keep providing great things and new stuff and whatever it may look like for any brokerage. But that's the thing, is keeping that momentum is what, to me, builds good culture.
So having the momentum, and momentum builds upon itself. And that's whether if you are a new sales agent and, you know, sometimes I've experienced in real estate sales observing, you know, newer agents that it's challenging because it takes a second to be able to get the momentum in a sales business. Now you can shortcut that by, you know, aligning yourself with somebody who already has that momentum. And I know that you guys offer, you know, like, you know, different programs of we can help you with the leads or 100% programs, et cetera. So what do you say to that agent who's a newer agent? Let's go back there. Who's struggling right now to say, well, and I'm paying my mortgage on my credit card because I haven't seen the results yet.
And that happens so often where, as a new agent, let's say you go to your first firm, right? Whatever it is, you do their training and stuff and you don't really take off. So you either do one or two things. You keep grinding out and go broke, or you think making a move will help. But even when you make that move, you're still taking that risk. So we know that as a newer agent coming in, and we see that, and you really got to focus on them almost knowing that, hey, we're probably their last result. This is probably it for them, or maybe they're going to get out. Let's don't let that happen. Let's don't let them be that 87 or whatever, 90% of the agents. So we really focus on that. And one thing I've noticed, again, with the culture is our other agents who've been there, and we grinded them up and got them going and excited and staying in the industry. They're like, hey, look, Charles and First Class, we're going to help them out too. And it becomes kind of contagious. So then they feel like they help someone so much, which they did, don't get me wrong, but it gives them a sense of pride and pride for the company to do that. So it's for new agents, it's tough. It really is in this industry, unless you kind of, now the market's pretty good too, but still, I mean, real estate's tough. I mean, it's a lonely, lonely business, and you got to align yourself well.
The second toughest business after being in a submarine.
I don't know.
Wow. Here's somebody who knows both perspectives, and he's like, I don't know.
You already know 87% of all real estate agents fail in this business. And you also know it doesn't have to be that way. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income, I invite for you to get your free copy of Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. And you can do so when you visit www.therealestateevolution.com. I'll share with you your book that I authored to show you the way. And it's free. You just have to pay for the shipping. Thanks.
Charles, what failure have you learned most from?
I probably would say that, you know, again, the consistency I mentioned, even for brand new agents, even as you grow and evolve as an agent or whatnot, you're continue to struggle with consistency because you'll get sidetracked. As you're growing, you're trying to scale. I've always struggled too, is keeping myself to stick to what you know. If it's this route, don't go getting into too many avenues as I grew. And it's something that I struggle with all the time because I'm always scaling. Let's scale, let's grow. It's really, you know, making sure that you don't, while you're growing, forget about something. You know, what was your pillars? How did you get here? You know, whether it be staff, whether it be your whole processes. So that's probably what I still to this day struggle with, is wanting to scale, but also being able to keep everything in order, if that makes sense.
So when you say wanting to scale, but keeping things in order, what is it that gets out of order? Is it financial? Is it systems? Is it just like keeping your brain straight? Or tell us more about that.
All of them.
Yes. And more.
You could have kept going, man. I'm telling you. You know, a lot of it, though, is systems, too. Because when you start to scale, again, so if I'm working on just my Atlanta franchise and I go open another one, I'm pulling myself out of it a little bit. So I'm also getting out of production, per se, to running this, to go help grow this. So you're constantly going out of production of the next move. Same with agents. You know, you're a buyer's agent, and you go to listing agent, then you go team leader. That same progression, you're always pulling yourself out of, and that's where you got to have systems or pay attention to it.
So to be able to evolve, to be able to go from to grow, to evolve and to grow, you have to make sure that you have a foundation of either the right systems, the right people, or both to replace you so that you can then focus somewhere else. Because without that, you're going to crash and burn. I mean, because at some point you're going to get spread so thin. And I'm really just talking to myself right now, Charles.
Yeah, I was about to do this.
This is just, you're like my psychologist right now. I'm just really just like, you know, pull up a seat on the couch here. If you're spreading yourself too thin, that could be definitely a challenge for a motivated top producer like yourself. Is that correct?
Obviously, too, because you're going into new avenues. Like if you start a team, you know, you've never ran a team before, you're spreading yourself thin and doing something you've never done. So it's a double whammy.
Yeah, you have to learn and you have to learn, you know. So there's a couple of things here that I'm pulling out of this. I want to make sure that our listeners and viewers catch. One is that what I'm hearing, Charles, what I'm hearing you say is to not spread yourself thin, to do one thing at a time. It's okay to grow and you should grow. Absolutely, you should grow. Yet there's a sort of a balance of growth of, you know, I can't do 100 things simultaneously. Every time that you say yes to something, you're saying no to an infinite amount of other possibilities. Mm-hmm. And understanding the fact that it's okay to systematically grow. It's okay to take the steps so that you don't, you know, spread yourself too thin. And when you're taking a new adventure, you're going to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
So make those mistakes fast. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, it makes a lot faster. A lot of mistakes, and like you said, make them fast so you can recover fast. As long as you can find out it was a mistake quickly, you typically will be all right. But that's a great point, what you're getting out of this, because that's exactly right.
So let's just, I asked you about what you would tell your 2006 self. What would you tell your 2019 self because there was a very definitive, and I know that you've done other things. I know that you open up your own mortgage company now, Colony Mortgage, and you've been originating loans in Georgia and Florida. And I know you have a lot of, like, at where you are in your career right now is you're at a new level than where you were before. So what would you say to yourself 2 years ago to say, hey, do this or don't do this?
You know, and really it comes down to, and really over the past year, my progression as a entrepreneur, team leader, broker, whatever it is vision. You know, my vision was, I always look forward, don't get me wrong, but I didn't have like a huge vision. I really was capped. And even having success as a single agent, your vision is still capped. You know, I would have never a couple of years ago imagined that I'd be where I'm at now because I didn't have that vision. And what I've learned by going into so many different growth modules over the past year or so is I'm starting to see that vision quicker and faster. And you always hear the term is, oh man, that guy's a visionary. Yeah, it's probably because he's gone through a lot in business and like moved quickly and he can see it. You know, they always joke like, coach, man, how are you always one step ahead of me? See, I just have a better vision. I said, I'm 2020, not my vision. I said, oh, okay, whatever. So
he's looking backwards. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, right.
He's saying, all right, done there, done that, right? Been there, done that. So how do you sell a vision? So because a vision for a visionary like yourself, you're imagining that somewhat, right? You're creating that, and then you're selling it. It's not hard to sell real estate because it's here's a house, buy it or not buy it. But to sell, here's a plot of land, and here's what we're going to create with that, or you know, more accurately, here's what we're going to do with the business. Here's why we're going to serve you. How do you communicate that vision in a way that others can understand it?
Well, the first thing I would say is you have to do it. It's hard to, if you've never sold land before, to go and sell a piece of land, it's a little bit more difficult, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So once you've sold a bunch of land, it's nothing to you. Okay. You know, sign here. Let's go. So yeah. I think the main thing was once I opened my first franchise and got it up successful, then the next vision came. And then like the next vision. So it was almost tiered for me to keep going. And then I was like, well, let's do a mortgage company now. But before I could really go out and sell shares or really even produce it to my agents, I had to get up, get it going. So it was a lot of going through those and actually doing it first, then have that vision. Some people can just have the vision right away. I'm not that fortunate. I have to do it to really see the next steps.
Well, that's fantastic. So Charles, so if I'm a real estate agent, it sounds like you got a fantastic company there and that you have a platform for helping agents for their success. Tell us what areas, I know you have 8 locations in an entire region. So tell us a little bit more about where and how does somebody get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can do, you know, Charles Benton, First Class Real Estate, Premier Group is my main Atlanta one. You can hit me up on Facebook or, you know, First Class Real Estate, GA.com. You can get me up on LinkedIn. I'm not hard to find, but to be honest with you, but you know, Facebook Messenger is the best. I'll typically get to that and I like collaborating and stuff and so forth through there. But I'm available whenever and love to.
What I heard Charles say is don't email him because he's got another 757 emails in front of yours. Get him on Facebook.
That's the best way. Yeah, I don't want to get lost in the shuffle, you know?
All right, Charles. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to meet you and to have this conversation. It was very valuable to me. So thank you, Charles, and God bless you.
Likewise. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hate the feeling of missing out and not knowing where to start? Aside from grabbing a copy of The Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, we also encourage you to join our ever-growing group, the Consistent and Predictable Income Community. Apply for a membership at the Consistent and Predictable Income Community on Facebook and visit us at thecpicommunity.com online to listen to our previous superstar interviews.
What's up, you guys? Jeff Cohn here. I'm really excited to be interviewing Mr. Dan Roshan.
Dan is a top team leader in the DC area with Keller Williams.
Dan is fantastic. He's a go-giver. He helps other real estate agents level up their business, level up their life.
Dan's a very successful realtor as well as author.
He just came out with a book for real estate agents. It's going to help people pivot. We went through and talked about how to succeed in adversity, some of his big traits out there.
you're still listening, it is because you align with the CPI community. That means that you love to learn. You are ambitious, qualified, smart, and professional. Mostly, you understand that you're in charge to design your life. If you do not want to wait until next week's show is posted, I invite you right now to visit www.thecpicommunity.com, which is the official website of the CPI community. There, you'll have access to eavesdrop on past conversations I've had with the top salespeople, business owners, and entrepreneurs. The content is free, and there's no opt-in. If you really want to hit the ground running, I encourage you to apply on the homepage of thecpicommunity.com to become CPI certified. It is a compensated service, and those that have become certified have reported back that they have more than tripled their business sales and done so in 20% less time. The CPI certification is a part of the CPI curriculum, which is the blueprint where you will learn the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks. Lastly, I invite for you to share this podcast with others who are competitive, love to learn, assertive, relationship-based, self-starters, just like you, so they can also benefit. And please leave us a rating or a review and subscribe now so that you'll be notified of the next show. Thank you again. I'll see you on the next show. To your success. If you're a real estate agent and you're located outside of the Washington, D.C. area, and you have a client that wants to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland area, consider to refer to me. I promise that when you do so, we'll treat them like gold, update you throughout the process, and most importantly, we'll make you look good. And we'll pay you a nice referral fee. If you're a real estate agent in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, or Washington, D.C. area, and you're seeking certainty and predictability in your business, contact me now. I'd love to be able to set up a conversation to show you how we can help you to close transactions every single month of the year. Just imagine January, February, March, April, May, every month of the year that you have income coming into your pocket to help you and your family. Hit me up on social media or email me, Dan@greetingsvirginia.com. Love to set up a time to chat.